February 4th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 23. Hey everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here at Nowhere in Mulberry, the Cultural District. I've just gotten myself a nice apple fritter, and I'm ready to hear talk about TV shows and stuff. What about you, Steven?
Me too, I'm ready to talk.
The pop culture zealot. Now, Steven, what kind of life have you gotten out of being a pop culture zealot?
No life at all. How about that?
Nice.
Couch potato life.
So it's very rewarding, is what you're saying.
I'm fulfilled.
Also, hey, it's Mulberry Bill. How you doing, Mulberry Bill?
I'm good. Thanks for acknowledging my superiority over
you. Well, you're welcome, sir. Now, how's it going there at your historical library?
It's not bad. Been busy watching all the pirated versions of the Best Picture nominees.
Nice. So you're all ready to tell us what you want to win Best Picture, or are you not quite ready for that yet?
No, I think I'm ready. I've made my decision.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to reveal it.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
No, if you want me to reveal it, I think Capote was the best movie.
Yeah. Now, I've heard Capote's really good. His voice get on your nerves after a while?
Not at all. In fact, I completely suspended disbelief and believed Philip Seymour Hoffman was actually true in Capote. The performance is actually that good.
Cool. I want to see all of them.
The voice is absolutely no problem whatsoever. It's perfect.
Sweet. Well, you know what? You're going to have to send that on my way.
There's parts where his performance, it's so nuanced, it's so incredible that there's parts where I shed a tear.
Nice. Wow. Now, another person who sheds tears is Vanessa. How you doing, Vanessa?
I'm doing swell.
What do you guys think about me, man? The master of the segue. You guys like that?
Master.
Yes, that was quite ingenious.
Yes, how do you ride on those things? Some segues. Are they pretty cool?
Yes. Wow.
Thank
wow.
you.
Wow. Yes, I also eat Segway sandwiches, all right? And Jared was there.
Wow, that's I'm even not a bigger
even gonna comment.
All right. Hey, Vanessa, how you doing this week? You seen any new good movies or anything like that?
No, but I got some video games. And
sweet.
I wanted to say hello to everybody at GameStop on Hewlin. They listen to the show.
Really? There's people?
Yes.
They listen to our show? Do they play it over the PA?
I know.
That would be awesome.
That's wheels off.
I would totally shop there. But you know what? I don't go to GameStop because I don't feel like buying a disc cleaner with every purchase I make.
Well, I got so sick and tired of waiting for my Snake Eater game, I bought a new copy. So the other one's yours.
Merry Christmas.
Awesome. You know what? And I just started playing it.
You did?
No.
No.
You need to play it. It's great.
Watch out for snakes.
No, I have no doubt about that, and I will get to it. It may be 5 years from now, but I can't wait to play it.
I hate the Metal Gear games.
What?
Man, we got to drop there. What?
How can anybody hate the Metal Gear games?
They're Japanese crap.
I love the second one, Metal Gear Solid. No, no.
That's the Sons of Liberty. Liberty.
No, I love the one that Metal Gear.
Oh, Metal Gear. Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid, yes. Good game.
The only Metal Gear I like is the one that was on the Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's awesome. Rocks a house down. Hey,
Jason, you're the one who got me to play it.
Right. Now, I want to make an announcement about our show. You know, from week to week, people listen to us blabber on about, you know, movies that are coming out or, you know, TV shows. But I've got an idea. Why don't we watch the upcoming sci-fi original movie, House of the Dead 2, and do a commentary, the whole movie. And then that way, all of our listeners can TiVo it or VCR.
And since many people don't listen to us to begin with,
yeah.
I will offer a service to them if they contact me via email mulberrybill@gmail.com, and I'll give them a link to download the film.
Awesome.
So that they could watch it on their computer and listen to our commentary at the same time.
And we will talk throughout the entire movie and get you through it. You may be asking yourself, why would I want to watch House of the Dead 2, a sequel to a theatrical release that was one of the worst movies ever made, and the sequel is being made for a TV channel? And I will tell you why by playing the trailer. Let's check this out, guys. It looks incredible. First of all, it stars Emmanuel Vaugier. Everyone knows who
Emmanuel
that is.
Lewis?
Yes. George and Mam are also in it. It also has
awesome.
Victoria Pratt, you may know from that.
Webster?
Victoria Pratt, yes, from Webster.
Does Ben Vereen pull in and like hit zombies with his car?
Yes.
He gets all the bases on their skulls.
And also Sticky Fingers is in it.
Who?
I have no idea. Let's check it out.
Maybe he should wash his hands.
What is it exactly that you do?
I'm a doctor. What about you?
I kill zombies.
Awesome! Nice.
Stage one outbreak on the University campus. What do we do?
Run like hell. On February 11th, let the bodies hit the floor.
Oh, hell yes!
Let the bodies hit the floor!
The Sci-Fi Pictures original, House of the Dead 2. Premieres Saturday, February 11th at 9 on Sci-Fi.
Yes, it looks as good as it sounds, everybody. And we will be talking over
great.
The entire episode. So you
know, I'm disappointed they didn't come up with something a little better, like House of the Dead El Diablo. Or,
yeah,
you know, something a little more.
I would have called it something like
House of the Dead 2.
House of the Dead 2 radon leak. So there's not only zombies in it, but there's also a radon leak. Man, it's very dangerous in that house.
Well, it's not just a radon leak. You know, radon is, you know, airborne radioactivity. So maybe the zombies are like super
radioactive
zombies.
Right, and. There's the two schools of zombie thinking here, and that's fast zombies, slow zombies. Which do you guys sway?
Well, I sway the slow zombies only because they're much more menacing.
Right, I love the classic slow...
Slow zombies can surround you.
Right.
You know?
The classic Romero slow lumbering zombie, who's not very threatening by himself, but all of a sudden, if you're sloppy...
40, 50 of them.
Yeah. But the new zombie, the Dawn of the Dead, they can run real fast.
The
Jesse Owens zombies.
That's a crock of shit.
Yeah.
Jesse Owens?
Well, he's fast, right?
Yes. Interesting reference.
Thank you.
Would you rather he say Jackie Joyner Kersee zombies? I mean,
the Flojo zombie. The Bruce Jenner zombie. How's that?
Well, Bruce Jenner is a zombie now. Or is he a scarecrow?
He's got his face pulled so tight you could play drums on his face.
Yeah, him and Cher actually look similar at this point.
Man, he's... Wow.
Did not age
he's
well.
He's a scary-looking man, that's all
I think
say.
He's got so much... He's got more estrogen in his blood than my mother.
Holy.
That's a lot of estrogen.
No, whoa there, Pickle.
So, in the February 11th, we will do a commentary to House of the Dead 2, and then we'll release it the following week. You can watch it and listen to our podcast. Hopefully it won't be ridiculous.
Yeah,
well,
right.
You can count the movie to be ridiculous, but
right.
Our comments will be nothing but...
But, I mean, how good is the line, what do you do for a living? I kill zombies. I mean,
no,
that's an awesome...
Music.
I want that job.
Yeah. First of all...
They could have maybe dug up something a little better than let the bodies hit the floor.
Now that on the Jason 10.
Well, see, they didn't even play that song. It was just a character in the movie says it, which is even worse. If there's a part in a horror movie, or if you're in a movie in any kind of, say you're in a hospital and you're some kind of SWAT team and you go in there and there's zombies and there's a lady kind of cowered over and you can't see her face and she's crouched down in the corner, don't go up to her and go, ma'am, are you okay? Because she's a freaking zombie. God.
She will bite your face off.
Yes. Vanessa, is Metal Gear entertaining?
It's great.
Speaking of entertaining, let's do entertainment.
There you go.
Boners go to die.
What?
Talking about Courtney Love?
Now, guys, we were all fans of Napoleon Dynamite, am I right?
Yeah.
You can count me as a semi-fan.
Are you going to eat your tots?
Yes, I love Napoleon Dynamite. I mean, I haven't watched in a long time, but when I think after I first watched it, got on DVD, watched it like twice a week for a couple weeks, I had a good time with it. I thought it was a good movie.
I caught you a delicious bass.
But the thing is, I never really thought, hey, I can't wait to see what this director does after this. But apparently he's made a new movie called Nacho Libre with Jack Black. Have you guys heard about that, where he plays like a Mexican wrestler?
Yes.
No.
Yes, I have. I think it was co-written by Mike White, the guy that wrote one of my favorites, Orange County, with Jack Black and
right.
Colin Hanks.
And he also did School of Rock, which
did School of Rock with Jack Black.
I enjoyed School of Rock until it came on every day on cable, and I watched it.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I was like, wow, you know, that's really entertaining. I really loved the music at the end. And then it shows up on HBO or Stars or whatever and every day for
yeah.
2 months, and it's
they
just like, okay.
Now,
so
hey,
thank you.
Why don't we check out the trailer to Nacho Libre? Am I saying it right?
I believe so. It might be Nacho Libre.
Chancho, when you are a man, sometimes you wear stretchy pants. He's for fun. Today, I saw a man in town. People were throwing daisies at him and giving him goodies. He was a luchador. Sometimes I would like that kind of respect.
Wrestling is a sin. If you fight for someone who needs your help, only then will God bless you in battle.
Psst! Chancho! I need to borrow some sweats!
Oh!
You see that guy over there? We need to show him we mean business. That we are ready for the big leagues. Do you remember when everyone was shouting my name? And I used my strength to rip my blouse. I'm a piece of garbage.
I know.
These are my recreation clothes.
They look expensive.
Thank you. The Carisi.
It looks like
yes,
the most ridiculous movie ever made.
I am Nacho. Maybe you've seen me on TV. Nacho! I was wondering if you would like to join me in my quarters this night for some toast.
I love that dry sense of humor that apparently Jared Hess has. That kind of, it just looks it looks entertaining. It looks weird and.
When I first heard about it, I was excited only because it just. You know, the whole thing about Lucha Libre, wrestling, which is, you know, just freestyle wrestling in Mexico. It's just so incredibly ridiculous, all these guys running around in tights and capes and
ridiculous
masks,
yeah,
jumping all over the ring and all that. I always thought that was funny. When I was a kid, there was a wrestler, I think he might still be around, that Rey Mysterio Jr. or whatever. He was in, like, the WWF, and he had, like, the mask, and he'd jump all around, and I just thought that was the coolest thing ever, even though I hated wrestling. But to see Jack Black in these tights and that cape and that like Afro-ish hair, yeah, it's got to be hilarious. Even
yeah.
if, you know, I hope they do it in that style of like Napoleon Dynamite, where it's.
I definitely get that vibe from the trailer.
Yeah, it's not fully satirical.
Right. When he asks the girl to eat toast, that reminds me of something like Napoleon Dynamite, you know.
Yeah, it's like something that could possibly happen.
And that comes out in June, so we got a while for it, but it looks pretty good.
Wow, they're releasing it in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, hopefully they don't beat us down with commercials of it over and over again. But
that's really ballsy.
Let me just remember, my first inkling is to go see it before the, you know, Entertainment Tonight's Jack Black, hey!
Oh, good Lord. I hope they don't attack it like that. Access Hollywood or Pat O'Brien on the Insider.
Hey,
I'll bring Jack,
kids over.
Let's get some
watch.
Coke.
we'll let
get
the kids
Coke.
Watch.
Let's hire a hooker. Let's get crazy.
Exactly.
We can go to your room and...
On that note, let's check out what's on our TiVos.
On that note...
Now, guys, for the last couple of weeks, we totally ignored My Name is Earl. We just kind of, we had too much to talk about with Lost, 24, Battlestar Galactica, Smallville, Veronica Mars. So, let's talk about this week's Earl. The last couple of weeks have been pretty funny. This one was mildly amusing. It had a special guest played by Adam Goldberg, who is a suicidal guy.
Also known as the Hebrew Hammer.
Yes.
Horrible movie.
A great made-for-comedy channel movie. Now, apparently Earl liked to steal his gas from time to time before he went honest. And at that time, his character, Adam Goldberg's character, was trying to kill himself with the exhaust of his car. And every time he was just about to die, he'd run out of gas and he wouldn't die. So he gave up. He thought God was, like, I guess, intervening. But it turns out Earl was just stealing his gas. And he decides to return the gas. And he's a very annoying guy. Didn't you love the part where he's going to lay down in the middle of the road with, like, a carpet on him so a car can't see him there and run over him? He returns the gas and he's off the list. He's like, yeah, I forgive you. But Earl is compelled to help the guy because he's suicidal. I have a short clip here. Let's check it out, guys.
I think I got it. It's a book on tape called Something to Live For. I also got a novel version of Roadhouse read by Patrick Swayze.
The best cooler in the business?
This will be great. Books are written by smart people, and smart people know how to fix problems.
No, thanks.
Come on, Philo. I'm trying to save your life.
Philo Beto?
Carlito,
that's what I thought.
I need to ask you a favor. I got this guy who, he needs something to live for.
I am not sleeping with that man.
No, of course you're not. I know that. Just make out with him a little.
No, I can smell him from here.
It's okay, I'm not interested. I already got a girl I love. She's hot.
Wait, you love a girl?
Yeah, but she hates me, or she would if she ever met me. I don't even know her name.
Excuse me, I'm hot.
Well, you're okay, but compared to my girl, you look like one of those things from The Lord of the Rings that crawled out of the ground and attacked the castle.
This uniform is not flattering. You should see me in jeans and a bra.
Ewoks. Those are called Ewoks.
So it turns out it's Joy who he's in love with, and Earl gets her to go out on a date with them to make Crabman jealous because he has a bunch of classy-ass magazines that she makes him throw away.
I would kill to see Ewoks attack a castle.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a wacky episode, and we love Earl. That's all I'm going to say about it.
What's sad is that it's just Ethan Suplee plays that simpleton character so well
right.
that I think people probably actually think he might be slightly retarded.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, he does this that part of Randy very well.
Yeah.
I enjoy.
All right, guys. Screw Earl. Let's talk about Smallville.
Yay, Smallville.
Last week, as you all know, Jonathan Kent dropped dead. And this week, Clark is mad about it, stewing about it. He's not ready to say goodbye to his dad. Am I right? Let's yes. check out this clip where he's being a total pansy.
Hey. The Muses weren't helping me with my astronomy paper, so I thought I'd come by and talk you into a frothy
kitchen. I was on my way to the hardware store. I gotta pick up some supplies for tomorrow.
Clark, are you sure it can't wait? Because I was really hoping we could talk. I understand.
You blew me off last week.
You and your dad were really close.
Lana.
You don't have to open up to me. You just can't keep bottling this up inside.
He's not ready,
Thanks for
Lana.
Coming by. I really have to go. The hardware store closes in half an hour.
You're Superman. You'll be back in a second.
You know what he's doing? He's sitting there thinking, damn it, why'd I save this
Knowing
bitch?
Grace.
I want to talk.
And you should be, but don't keep hiding behind it. Trust me, I've tried.
Yes, she has lost her parents.
I know you're
too.
Trying to help. Thank you, but you don't have to worry about me.
His mom offers, like, she wants to, this is your dad's watch, I'm going to get rid of a bunch of his clothes at,
No, I could wear them!
And apparently, you know, he's not ready for any of this, so she's just kind of goes off, like, oh, Clark, or whatever.
It's like, your real father died a long time ago on another planet.
So she decides to drop off his old clothing at a shelter in the middle of night on the worst side of town, apparently.
Yeah, whatever happened to those, like, dumpster-looking things that you can dump clothes in?
Yeah, so when she was getting mugged and slapped around, were you like, haven't they done enough to this lady?
So she drives 3 hours to Metropolis, to the bad side of town,
right.
to drop clothes off.
And there's even a part where she says, they want to talk to me about your father's Senate seat, and we already know what's going to happen, don't yeah. we? That she's Jeez. Going to be offered the Senate seat. So what happens
and
is...
And her and Lionel Luther are going to become involved in a maddening love affair that goes
no.
nowhere.
So what happens is they not only mug her, they take Jonathan's old watch, but not until some costumed vigilante shows up to save the day.
Gee, wonder who that is.
It's some chick. I don't know who it is. So when Clark learns that his mom's been mugged and his dad's watch taken, he gets really angry. And the first person he always goes to is Chloe, who works at the Daily Planet.
I love Chloe.
Yeah, her character is ridiculous. It's one of those characters just like, hey, let me look on the computer. Okay, here's all the clues you need to finish the episode. Oh, thanks. Get
it's
it on
so
hard
lazy.
Copy.
Here it is.
It is. She can find anything on her Daily Planet computer.
Let me log into this website here and pull up every record possible on yeah. everyone in the world.
Let me reroute the subsystems. Oh, she does it too.
Let me, yes. Chloe and Chloe.
So anyway, yeah. it turns out that this mass vigilante, who also works at the Daily Planet, undercover with glasses on, just like Superman one day will.
Figure out who that is.
She was once stabbed in the heart and given a heart transplant by someone who was a meteor freak.
Is she
I
Baboon
guess.
Lady?
Yes. It was and so now she has superpowers, and since her mom and her were attacked by muggers, she now beats the crap out of muggers.
Mugger... Efforts.
Yeah. So this whole episode is about, will Clark go over the line and become an angry vigilante, or will he learn to
Or will he puss
his
out
anger.
Like he always does?
Right. And the answer is he'll puss out. And he explains why, because he hurt his dog. He hurt his. What the hell's wrong with
him? He hurt his dog.
He hurt his dog.
He hurt his father.
Crypto.
Yeah, what is he getting crypto anyway?
Crypto? He had crypto already.
But
where did he disappear?
No, they
to?
Didn't name him crypto. They named him Ron or something.
Ron. Hey, I missed that episode. So what happens is he finds the mugger, and the girl wants, kill him! Kill him! He deserves to die! And Clark's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Then I'll be as bad as he is. So she she's like punk ass and throws kryptonite at him, and she kills the guy.
For the count.
She stabs the dude and gets away. But it turns out, guess who this girl whose mother was killed and she was stabbed in the heart, guess who is the cause of all that? Lionel Luther is what caused her mother to die. So she goes to kill him just in time for Clark to say she's better than this and saves his life, and she gets away forever. So
yeah, but he saves Lionel Luther, and Lionel Luther obviously knows Clark's secret. And if he didn't, he knows now because Clark saved him.
Yeah, he moved in super fast motion.
And then Lionel Luther refers to Clark as son.
Right.
Yeah, there's just like a whole thing going on there.
Remember he was kind of possessed by the spirit of Jor-El? Did his mind kind of, he knew what was going on?
He's holding on to it subconsciously or something.
Maybe he could see what Jor-El was doing the whole time?
There's certainly something going on. I think maybe Lionel Luther will become the new, like, good guy.
Yeah, because it looks like they're setting it up for Clark's mom and Lionel to work together.
Yeah, and then Lex will kill his father or something.
Yeah, they got to do something with that. Because do you love on shows like this where it's like, okay, we don't have enough for your character to do this week, but we're going to give you one scene where you kind of just...
throw in a sloppy foreshadowing scene.
Yeah, where you're going to play up. Everyone knows you're a dick. Just be a dick in the scene, and we'll move on after that.
I'm waiting for Lex to hire Otis.
Mr. Luthor. I don't think he's in the comics. So I don't know. So anyway, interesting episode, but
ultimately unsatisfying.
Now, another show that came back this week was Veronica Mars.
Another ultimately unsatisfying episode.
That's a shame. Now, why did you think this, Bill?
I thought they were building it up to be, you know, the one of those real good revenge episodes, and it just fizzled out. It was just a completely lazy solution or resolution to the problem.
Now, what happened was Wallace, while he was in Chicago, he made friends with one of the biggest basketball prospects in high school, and apparently they go to White Castle and they run over a dude. So he decides in the last episode, when someone a reporter or something or a cop approaches mm-hmm. him, he decides that he's going to go ahead and tell this guy, I think his name is Rashad, ran over somebody. They get the guy who does it. I don't really know what they
say. Like you said, it was kind of fizzled.
Watched this episode, and it's kind of like already fading from my memory.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It just, you know, they go through this whole thing like Wallace is in imminent danger. This kid, he's going to go to jail.
Right.
It's just the way it is. Everyone's turning against him. There's like this psycho uncle manager that this Rashid kid has.
He's paying off all of the witnesses.
Where else do you get 5 days to turn yourself in with the police?
and then once Veronica Mars comes up with a plan, blah, 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 they go through this thing where the manager's phone gets stolen, and then somehow somebody gets the phone, and then they call all the people
But you know what? I did like the subplot with Weevil, though, where he finds out, he thinks that he found the guy in his gang who's dealing drugs with the Fitzpatrick's. But when he goes up to call him out at the end, it turns out his whole gang is, and they all turn on him, and they surround him and eat him like zombies. It was really crazy.
That was a much better storyline than the Wallace storyline.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And we'll see what goes on from there. But anyway, Veronica Mars, all right, cool.
Weevil is going to get some revenge.
Right. Exactly, Weevil? Bill.
Wait for some Weevil revenge.
Yes, Weevil.
Weevil will end.
All right, guys, let's talk about a great show, and that's 24. All right, 24 this week. Last week we found out that Walt Cummings was a bad guy. There's this great scene where he tells the president, did you guys see this coming, where Walt would go ahead and just tell the president, okay, I'm working with the bad guys, but here's what
He would weasel his way out.
Yeah, but he says, okay, I am working for this guy, and we're going to let them take the sarin gas, or I can't even remember.
No, some nerve gas.
Yeah, they're going to take the nerve gas, and they think they're going to use it on Russia, but we're going to wait till they have it in their hideout or whatever, and then we're going to set it off, and they'll all die.
I think the gas was herpes simplex 12.
Right.
Nerve gas.
So, but what Walt doesn't realize is that Badger from Firefly has figured out what's going on, and he's killed his man inside, and now he's planning on using it on the U.S. to kind of show them, hey, that's what you get for meddling.
Yeah, but I like Badger's English-Russian accent.
Yeah. But here's what happens. When he tells the president about this, he goes, you will be implicated in this. And he's like, why did you do this? And he's like, easily, we could, now, once they have the gas, we can say, hey, look, here's the weapons of mass destruction we've been looking for. And I thought his plan was quite devious.
Yes,
you think?
He's so, got gas.
He actually talks the president into kind of semi-believing it, that he has no, his hands are tied, so he decides, okay, tell CTU to back off, and here's what happens.
We're no longer running point on the search for the canisters. We've been ordered off by division.
Why?
The White House wants to use their own people to coordinate from now on.
That doesn't make sense. We'll waste hours getting another agency up to speed.
Yeah, I know.
It's yes, we'll have to reroute the subsystems.
What about Mike Novick? I should be with him by now.
Novick's people seems to reach Jack Selko's right to voicemail.
Something's wrong.
I know, but I know what we can do about it.
I do.
What?
Call the Goonies!
Disregard the order.
Disregarding a presidential order.
If we don't, we will not find this nerve gas.
Sending
but we never
Jack
say die.
Have a conversation with Mike Novick as a private citizen is one thing, but I'm not about to start considering disobeying a direct order from the White House.
That's because you don't have the experience to know any better.
Oh, called his ass out.
Damn Hobbit.
Owned.
Can we step outside for a moment?
I love how he says that. Can we step outside for a moment? And he's like, maybe you don't have the experience, bitch.
Are they all hopped up on methamphetamines while they do this?
No, Jack gets taken into custody, and Aaron kind of listens to Jack. He's like, hey, not everything's up. Walt Cummins is a bad guy. So he decides he's going to free him. So he does. And here's a cool scene where Jack threatens to cut Walt's eyeballs out.
I'm done talking with you. You understand me? You read my file. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to take out your right eye. I'm going to move over and I'm going to take out your left, and I'm going to cut you. I'm going to keep cutting you until I get the information that I need. You understand me? So for the last time, where is the nerve gas?
I love the music in this scene.
Hold on, wow.
Stop!
Stop! I'm done. I'm afraid of leaving the port of Long Beach at 2:30.
Wow, he gave it up pretty easily, didn't he?
Yeah, what a whip. I would have at least let Jack cut his eye out first.
Yeah.
Would you have lost at least one eye before you gave it up?
You know what I love about the show is I totally, if he would have cut his eyeball out, I wouldn't have been shocked at all. I would have been like, awesome!
But what about whenever he went all electricity on the guy last season?
Yeah.
Paul Raines or whatever?
I love Jack. He's a great guy.
Not like getting it with a lamp cord in your chest.
Yeah, and it turns out, okay, you're innocent. Come on. He's like, okay, I forgive you for electrocuting me.
Yeah, let's work together.
Yeah, I won't hold a grudge. So at the very end, I've already mentioned this, but Badger finds out that the U.S. is pulling a screw job on him, and he's now going to use the gas somewhere in L.A., which is always where terrorists strike on this show. Yeah, it's got to be 10 minutes away so Jack can get there, and they don't have to waste a lot of time of Jack driving in a car on the show.
Could you imagine an episode of 24 where he has to fly to Prague in the, 10 of the episodes is just him on a plane.
Yeah. It's like, Jack, when are you going to get there?
Be there soon.
What would they do with the show if there weren't cell phones? I mean, everyone has a cell phone at all times on the show. They're always talking on a cell phone. They'd be screwed.
Speaking of cell phones, they should do, like in the new Stephen King novel, send a pulse through the cell phone and turn everyone into zombies.
That would be sweet.
Cell phone zombies.
And Jack is just killing all the zombies. That'd be awesome.
That would rock.
That would.
The samurai sword.
Now, I'll say this much about this episode of 24. I thought it was awesome. I love how Walt gave everything up just like that. There wasn't this big, long mole in the White House thing.
They solved that quick.
I love how each episode delivers a beginning, middle, and end in a way. It's really cool how they're doing this, and I hope it keeps it up.
Yeah, they're doing almost like full seasons in one episode.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really digging this stuff, man. And I hope he does cut out someone's eyeball somewhere in the season.
Well, I think they realized that they needed to change the formula.
Right, because everyone expects there to be a mole in CTU every year. But this time they changed it up. The mole didn't know he was a bad guy. He thought he was doing the right thing.
The mole didn't know he was a melanoma.
Right. He didn't know he was cancerous. So, but he was. Exactly.
Egg Jack.
Oh, and they have the previews to next week. It looks like Jack goes in a room and there's some mysterious figure around the corner, and we'll have to wait till... If it's his daughter, I'll groan. Ugh.
No, if it's his daughter, I'll cheer and then pull my pants down and... No, wait, oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Wait, wrong. I'm sorry. Wait,
cut
that was a little too
out.
Much.
Boners go to die.
There's good just Lord, something man. Really, really hot about Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah,
why don't
okay.
you beat his ass?
Thank you, Jon Stewart.
Exactly. All right, guys, let's talk about Battlestar Galactica. Alright, this episode is called Scar, and Scar is the name of a Cylon ship that's wreaking havoc.
Played by Jeremy Irons.
On the, yeah, he's wreaking havoc on the Viper pilots, killing them off one by one. He knows exactly how to stalk and kill them.
It's a smart Cylon.
Right, and there's a great scene in this. I mean, this episode is all about Starbuck and Starbuck's problems, and, you know, she's drinking too much, she's hung up on Anders.
I hated it.
Really?
I found myself on the TiVo fast forwarding through it.
Wow.
I was so incredibly bored and annoyed with the entire episode.
That's incredible.
Oh, I thought it was one of the best ones.
I thought this
just
was
Starbuck's whininess and her drunkardness and then that annoying girl, that cat or whatever.
Yeah, she is annoying.
Oh my God, I hated the entire thing.
I thought this was one of the best Battlestar Galactica. And also, a lot of the shit that she gives Starbuck is kind of on the level. I mean, she's getting drunk and she's not paying attention. She's missing details in their missions and stuff, even though she is an incredibly annoying character.
She's a friggin' tweaker!
Yeah. She's as Starbuck says, she's a stim junkie. I like this episode because I love the effects on the show. It's got the best special
effects.
They
have gotten really good. I was very impressed with the asteroid field effects and everything. It looked very real.
That sun.
I just loved the way this whole episode was composed. I mean, I know the last couple of episodes they keep doing the flashback thing, but I guess they're dealing with each individual character's, you know, what they deal with day to day. And Starbuck sums it up pretty well, saying that you could just let your guard down for one day and then you're dead, and then a day later no one remembers what you look like. It was essentially this, you know, kind of the theme of this, that
but being such a small, close-knit group now, you really don't forget.
I don't know, dying alone maybe, but she's hung up on this guy that she
Everybody's
thinks could be
this.
Dead. You have to find, in the situation that they're in, you have to find some kind of strength and be willing to live every day, because it's pretty damn bleak, you know?
Yeah, there's only, you know, 50,000 humans left, or,
right.
you know,
and
less. But
what used to get her along is what gets her along now is being the best in the fleet, being the best pilot, getting the kill on this Cylon that's killing everyone, Scar. And what it's showing is that Starbuck doesn't care about that anymore, what she used to. She used to want to be the best, but she doesn't really give a crap about that. She's just getting drunk and feeling sorry for herself. Well, she thinks he's dead.
Guy.
Maybe she does. Maybe she doesn't. I don't think he's dead. Why did they introduce the character?
Who cares if he's alive or dead?
But, I mean, she was only with him once. I mean, maybe he's kind of annoying. Maybe he leaves the toilet seat up, you know? But the thing is that there was a great scene with her and Apollo where she decides, hey, we could die tomorrow, so why don't we get it on? And she's like mauling Apollo, and he's like, whoa, chill out, slow down. And she's
calm down.
It's not about you, this isn't about us, I just want a good lay.
Let's cuddle and talk.
He wanted to save the hooker last episode.
He's got a heart of gold. It turns out, you know, she tells him she's hung up on Anders or whatever. I love the space scenes. Now, like, finally, you know, it's building up to the big scene between her and Scar. And she's going to fly head-on into him with a game of chicken. And she finally decides to... before that, I have another clip. Let's check that out.
So,
How does Scar take out an experienced pilot like Bino?
He hides.
He hides behind an asteroid or the debris field that you've ignored because it looked like a bunch of harmless rocks. You see, Scar doesn't like to fight until the odds are on his side. And then, suddenly out of nowhere, bam.
He's a cherry picker.
He pops out, blows you to pieces, and then jumps away before you can return fire.
Well, if you ask me, I think Scar's a coward.
This isn't dueling pistols at dawn, this is war. You never want to fight fair. You want to sneak up behind your enemy and club him over the head. You see, Scar understands that. And so do I. So that's why I'm going to kill him. You. Starbuck, you can barely walk. Look who's talking, Stim Junkie.
No, you didn't go there.
No. I wouldn't be calling anybody a junkie if I were you, Starbuck. Not the way you've been pounding back that booze lately.
Getting a little beer gut on you.
One tie on the ship's enough.
Ah, the respect flows.
I got 200 here. It says I nail Scar's chrome-plated ass, and when I do, you hand that top gun over to me and pour me my first drink. Your lips will never touch the rim, little girl.
Now, didn't you love the scene where Starbuck's going to run and jump on the table or something? Yeah. She just flops over it.
Now she trips and falls.
Yeah, what turns out happening is that, of course, Cat blows up Scar with the help of Starbuck, by the way. She made it possible. And
yet that's not acknowledged at all by that little bitch.
Yeah.
And just come pour me a drink. I wish she would have belted her in the face after she poured that drink.
But that was a great scene when Starbuck, earlier she was telling Apollo, she kind of, you know, says, I don't remember any of their names as soon as they're dead.
But don't you like it kind of took the steam out of her
toes?
Absolutely.
You know, it totally did. It stole her thunder completely. And she mentions every single pilot that's died, kind of drink for them. I want one of those cool Top Gun steins to drink out of. What, you guys want one of those?
They got to be selling them on Sci-Fi pretty soon. If not, hey, there's a hint for you, Sci-Fi. Sell those Top Gun mugs.
But I have a feeling. Now, what I was hoping would happen is Kat was chasing another Cylon when she turns back to help Starbuck. I was hoping she'd kill Scar and then be all happy and then all of a sudden get shot from behind.
Yeah, I was thinking too.
Man, they've got to kill this character. She's Michelle Rodriguez territory, okay?
That's exactly what I was going to say. She is. It's just the moment she shows up, it just sucks the life. That's why I hated the show so much, I think.
But
it's not so much the character as much as the actress.
But do you understand why I like this episode so much? It deals with.
I can.
It deals with how, and, you know, just the pressure they're under. They even show the new Nuggets come in. You know, they're just kind of like rude to him because they don't give him long to live at all. They're just like, hey, you get this guy's old bunk. He just dropped dead. You know, he just got.
You get his nickname, too, because we won't remember you either.
Yeah, and the whole kind of undercurrent of who is that guy's girlfriend who he's always talking about? And it's like, what does it matter? We don't remember any of these people. I can understand that. I mean, every mission you could probably die. And, there was a great little thing there about how the resurrection ship is gone and the ship's resurrected too. So this could possibly be the same ship that she killed before and it's come back. And she has a conversation with Boomer about how now that the Cylons can't come back, they might fly more cautiously. They might not all attack at once. They might.
Yeah, because they're dead, they're dead.
They'll do tricky sneak maneuvers and that kind of thing. So they're not. Remember how, like before, they'd send like, you know, 100 of them at you. They'd be on suicide missions.
Well, that was one thing they brought up this time was that even the Cylon raiders
could die at any time and they'll be gone for good.
No, that they used to be resurrected,
right? Which I thought was interesting. And didn't you think it played up that remember the Cylon that she shot down and then boarded and stole that mm-hmm. was Scar?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on,
actually,
it was.
Yeah.
That was Scar. That was the same one that she killed and went up to
she
and ripped
gutted
him.
Yeah,
she gutted him. He remembered her. So I thought that was a pretty cool undercurrent. The next episode has China Beach's Dana Delaney, so I'm ready to check that out.
Or you mean Exit to Eden, Stain of the Lady?
Ah, yes. The great Exit to Eden with Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, yes.
Who the hell made that movie?
Why the hell did they make that movie?
I believe it was Frank Marshall.
Oh, man. Frank Marshall. Why? Stick to Laverne and Shirley, dude. Vanessa, you ready to do the news?
I sure am.
All right, Vanessa, what do you got in the news this week?
There are the Pentagon's new rules of engagement, the diamond ring kind. U.S. Army chaplains are trying to teach troops how to pick the right spouse through a program called How to Avoid Marrying a Jerk. The matchmaking advice comes as military family life is being stressed by two tough wars. Defense records show more than 56,000 in the Army, active, National Guard, and Reserve, have divorced since the campaign in Afghanistan started in 2001. Officials partly blame long and repeated deployments which started after the invasion of Iraq in 2003 and stretched the service thin.
Is this our tax dollars, by the way?
Our tax dollars.
Okay, just checking it.
Yeah, they need to teach men how to marry a woman that won't raise her voice to them. if they're out serving their country too long.
Well, the No Jerks program is called PICK, a partner for premarital, interpersonal choices and knowledge. It advises the marriage-bound to study a partner's family background, attitudes, compatibility, experiences in previous relationships, and skills.
And make sure they're not a terrorist.
They could do a program. It's called Know Your Place. Start a book club.
It teaches the love-struck to pace themselves with a RAM chart, which basically says, don't let your sexual involvement exceed your level of commitment or level of knowledge about the other.
Now, this is for male and female soldiers, right?
Yes.
Are they playing hookup in the military? Like two soldiers, they'll hook them up and, just don't have sex with this person. Get to know them better.
Here, fill out this questionnaire before we have sex.
Yeah, it's turning into the Scientology personality test.
Yeah. Here, we have military-grade e-meters.
You know how many, I don't know how many couples, including myself when I was in the military, got married after knowing someone for a small length of time because people had, you get orders or you're thinking, I better marry them or else, I'm going to leave and I'll never see him again.
Right. It's also when you're in the military that long and you get shipped around a lot, you just want to have some kind of, something to hold on to, something to grab onto, some kind of, tether. Safety line, umbilical cord, if you will.
Yeah.
Yep,
that happens a lot.
Really? Yeah. See, I would just screw them and move on. I don't understand. I don't understand going, okay, I'm shipping out, let's get married. Who the hell cares?
No, it'd be like, I'm shipping out and more fish in the sea when I'm
exactly.
Gone.
Exactly.
I'm a historian of ass.
Next port.
If you actually make a connection with someone, which you normally in civilian life would just go on a date or something like that.
Right. It's like amplified because of the situation you're in.
I don't care about, you're my soulmate or anything like that.
And how long have you been married?
And ladies, there's Bill.
That's real rough.
You can reach Bill at 555 ass.
I'm just telling the truth.
History of ass.
if I was in the armed forces, there's a much bigger thing going on there than
marital satisfaction.
Yeah,
why would you ever marry someone to abandon them?
Whose idea is this anyway?
Marriage is a serious thing that you enter into not to abandon the other person. Why would you ever say, let's get married before I'm shipping out? That's so selfish.
That's what guys used to do during wartime, like World War II. Hey, I'm shipping out this week. Let's get married.
I guess that's probably going to the extreme saying that back in the 40s, 50s, when that time was, that the girls wouldn't have sex until they were married. I'm not saying all girls,
that's
but,
true.
You well, know. We're talking modern times now where
right.
it's...
Where that doesn't happen. They've already yeah.
Where we
up.
Have no true moral obligations to
correct
anything.
Back in the Cold War, World War II era, the reason people got married before they shipped off is, one, in case they something happens and they die, at
and
least
they
the
didn't
woman back home will be taken care of.
And they didn't want to die a virgin, either.
Files accessed.
Am I right?
Yeah,
they didn't
absolutely.
Have that problem.
Yeah.
They did a lot of prostitutes overseas.
Nice.
We still have that problem.
Well, you've got troubles, Mac.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're gonna ship out and you're gonna screw multiple women while you're over there, why marry a woman and abandon her? I just don't get it. I understand she would be taken care of if you died, but what if you
Maybe
don't
he loves
die?
Her.
What if you come back and you're like, oh, you know what? I was just doing it to help
and
you out.
And that's why they have this program, because that does happen.
What if it was like this, hey, Bill? Say, it's that one hot chick you wanted, and you're like, hey, you know, let's get married. You know, finally you can do her, because she won't give it up otherwise. Back in the 40s, 50s.
What the hell are you talking about?
You know, I'm just...
You dirty, filthy cyborg.
Exactly.
Yes.
They need sex cyborgs in the military, so we don't have to do this stuff. All right,
you've
Vanessa?
Brain for change. All right, in Los Angeles, rocker Courtney Love told a judge that she has put her drug problems behind her, and she has a renewed outlook on life.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, wow, how many times has she said that sentence?
Six.
Oh, gosh. She
doesn't
memorize.
30.
Do you think she's a drug addict because she killed her husband?
Do you think she killed her husband?
I think there's some guilt there. I think she may have possibly been
like,
involved.
Drove him to suicide?
Drove him to it, yeah.
Who knows if he actually killed himself?
He was high. He was a big drug addict.
He was always high.
Exactly, but drugs make you do things you normally wouldn't do.
And he wasn't happy with his stardom.
Career? Yeah.
No, oh, wham, wham.
Well, I mean, he never wanted to be
Who
famous.
I mean, if he did commit suicide...
That's what I hate. I hate celebrities that go, you know, they are celebrities. Go, I hate being famous. Oh, shut the hell up.
Why did you...
You've got more money. You can do anything you want.
Yeah, why did you start a band if you didn't want to become famous, you know?
So what?
Or why did you sign that record deal?
I'm doing it for the music, man.
So, you wouldn't have signed that record deal then.
Yeah.
Just stay playing in a local...
All those
used to be about the music.
Nothing.
All right.
So
then, how does she plan to turn over this new leaf?
Well, it says Love 41 appeared in court Friday as part of a progress report after violating probation in three criminal cases. Judge Rond Rubin sentenced Love to 180 days at a drug treatment facility, but was released to an outpatient program in November. Rubin ended that requirement, but ordered her to return to court on May 12th. You're doing really, really well, Rubin said. We all pleased with your progress. Love, the former lead singer for the band Hole, and the widow of Nirvana frontman Kurt Cobain, admitted in August that she violated her probation in three cases, including two drug-related charges. Big surprise. But Love says she has improved over the past several months.
Ain't it awful?
I feel like I'm getting my creativity back, and that I put a very gnarly drug problem behind me.
Creativity, which she never had.
I know.
But the only way she's going to get her creativity back is if she digs up Kurt Cobain and a new album for her.
Because I want the court and the community to know I feel great.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Well, her probation was extended till March 2007, and she must continue counseling.
Yeah, let her
God,
go back
I
to
would
acting
to
and let more people
daughter.
Put words in her mouth so that...
Yeah, she just basically all those quotes are what her lawyer told her to say.
Exactly.
Told her to say gnarly?
Yes, just like Spicoli always says.
Oh, gnarly!
She just
Speaking
translated
of rehab,
in Courtney speak.
Didn't Tom Sizemore get caught again for... Screwing up his probation.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he got caught on a
Am
drug test.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
With drugs in his system again, so back to the slammer he goes.
Great.
I thought he went to jail for assault.
No, he was assault, but remember he did the fake penis pee test thing and got sent to jail for violating his... his probation with drug use.
Here's exactly what the judge said.
Before next fall, you're in need of a serious attitude adjustment, young man. You better get your priorities straight. And watch out with that other crowd you're running with. Don't think I haven't noticed.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
And I got nothing. All right, Vanessa, next story.
Australia is suffering a bad bed bug epidemic.
Oh,
with the tourism losing an estimated $75 million a
year. Does he do me that way?
Because of the blood-sucking insects, according to the new entomology study.
They suck your blood? I thought they just ate, like, dead skin cells on
No, they suck your blood.
Yeah, they burrow under your skin.
Yeah, I mean, whenever they bite, they leave these big, itchy marks like mosquito bites.
Damn.
They're horrible.
Well, some pest controllers have reported more than 1,000% rise in bed bug outbreaks. The Australian outbreaks are part of a global epidemic with the number of bed bugs worldwide doubling each year.
Do you not think it's part of the hotel industry, too, because they need to start changing. I'm not saying they change the sheets, but they don't change the quilts every time.
Not only that, they don't clean. They sweep, but they don't get behind the headboards or any of that stuff, and that's where they all hide.
Right.
We've talked about this before on the show.
The problem is that humans do this job, and you know how humans are.
I think we should just eliminate humans. Oh, wait, never mind. Maybe they should, like, fumigate the rooms but after each person uses it. Fumigate it.
Yeah, but the problem is they hide inside the little folds of, like, the mattress. And if they don't vacuum them or do anything with the mattresses themselves, even steam clean them, anything. So they can burrow inside the mattress and change the sheets, whatever you want. They're still going
to
be there.
Well, like
that's
Bill
why
said,
I'm
they
saying
should,
after
they
each
have
person...
To, fumigate the room.
You know what you could do? You could, like, pay extra money, to have your room fumigated before you stay there. Drop one of those fire bombs that suck all the oxygen out of the room.
That would be awesome.
Well, pest control in the past usually involved insect sprays, which also kill bed bugs, but the new environmentally friendly practices such as insect baits have had no effect on the bed bugs, thus the rise.
Insect baits? What the hell? Is PETA involved in this shit? Kill them!
Motels.
It's a freaking roach motel.
Motels used to be sprayed for cockroaches, but now they have to use cockroach bait.
Sweet, they use cocaine. Awesome.
Got little. Stuff
I would love to
bugs.
See some coked out cockroaches.
My cousin's a cokehead.
Like Courtney Love cockroach, but they use and bud bugs and blood suckers, so the baits have little impact. And some people have actually gotten blood poisoning as a result of bed bug bites.
Damn.
Well. Bed bugs do prefer dark locations close to where people sleep, so they can feed on human blood at night.
I thought she was going to say dark skin. It's like, what? They're racist?
They kind of sound like zombies.
They usually nest in mattresses, particularly in the seams. Use under floorboards.
Appreciate
carpets,
zombie killing.
And slats, and behind skirting boards.
Slats?
I hate those slats.
Damn slats.
Well, now they're going to get together, the whole tourism industry in Queensland, they're going to get together to try to figure out what to do.
I'm never going to Queensland, but I do like Queensland chicken and shrimp at Outback Steakhouse. Man, got
Edna.
Nothing.
Right.
In Berlin, these have dismantled and carted away some 3 miles of disused rail track close to the German town of Weimar. Railway operator Deutsche Bahn said on Friday.
Deutsche Bahn?
Yes.
Deutsche Bahn!
The railroad operator said the thieves would probably sell the tracks as scrap metal with a damage amounting to $241,000 U.S. dollars. Deutsche Bahn said it had noticed the missing track after the mayor of a town alongside the train line phoned in to check if the dismantling was planned. This is a major criminal operation because you cannot simply take the tracks and carry away, said the spokesman for the rail operator.
Was it even being used?
No, it was a disused, but it was still part of a track that I guess had been closed off.
So why do they care if they take it? They're cleaning up a mess, right?
Yeah. Well, who cares?
Well, what if the city...
And plus, it's good money.
Yeah.
The city could have picked it up and...
At least these guys
aren't robbing metal, iron, all that stuff. You can get shitloads of money from that.
Yeah, they're not robbing people's houses, They're stealing track that's not being used anyways.
Yeah, it's not like there's going to be, a derailment.
Yes, they're earth-friendly. That's what it is.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's called recycling, people. Get behind it. They're green. Yeah. They're green thieves.
Yeah, who is this Deutsche Bahn guy?
Reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Due to constant diva-like behavior, U.S. Weekly claims the producers of Lost are killing off Michelle Rodriguez's character. Yay! Ana Lucia Cortez, as soon as they have an opportunity.
Could you repeat her name again?
Wait, Ana Lucia Cortez?
Yeah, could you say that again?
Ana Lucia Cortez.
Okay.
Hey, that's enough.
Mine.
She's going to have to go back to the Fast and Furious
movie. So basically, she is such a diva and being a pain in the ass that they're going to kill her character off.
But don't you need to be popular to be a diva?
First of all, I hate the word diva. I hate how they use the word diva all the time in everything. It's not a real word. Just stop using the word. Stop using the word diva. Good God.
Well, the producers are fed up with the fact that she barely shows up on the set and is always in a bad mood. No. They said she was getting killed off as soon as they could write it in.
When is she ever on the show for them to write her in?
For the last couple of episodes, she's just been kind of like sitting on the beach.
I have a feeling that's just one of those wishful thinking gossip stories.
I hope not.
Well,
you can almost bet it is.
This guy wrote this, said, the point of looking into in my exciting life is that Michelle Rodriguez never comes up in any conversations about Lost. Why? Not because Michelle looks like a man, but because her character on the show really isn't that important. Maybe she should have thought of that way before she threw a hissy fit when wardrobe didn't iron her boxers in that extra special way, or when she decided it was a good idea to go plowing through the streets of Honolulu too drunk to stand.
Exactly.
What about Cynthia Watro? She went
plowing through. Where is the beef?
Drunk.
Yeah, but she's probably not complaining about her boxers on the set, so.
Well, I don't think she wears underwear. She seems like that type.
But it's funny when you're reading all the
What is wrong with you?
I have no idea.
All right, Vanessa, any more stories?
One more. I've got Al Lewis, the cigar-chomping patriarch of the Munsters.
I love that guy. How's he doing?
Well, he died after years of failing health.
No! I thought you were going to tell me he just opened a new restaurant. 98?
He had to be almost 100.
95.
But no, it's Grandpa. He's a vampire. He can't die.
Did anybody ever figure out if the Munsters were actually people or monsters?
He's dead, Jeff.
Completely insane. He's wearing Halloween costumes now, all the time.
Steven and I have always had this argument. It's Adam's family versus the Munsters.
There's two types of people.
I'm a Munsters person. Steven is a Adam's family person.
I like
Munsters. I don't think I was really ever either, but I could watch the Munsters more than I could ever watch the Adam's family.
The
Adam's family tended to annoy the hell out of me.
Right, and the reason I like the Munsters is because it had the coolest theme ever.
Yeah, that was much better. That was much more groovy.
I'm not saying I didn't like the Munsters, but they're...
I
liked them both.
I always wanted to play guitar just so I could play the Munsters theme on guitar, man.
But what was more fun? Seeing the people show up and see Herman Munster and him doing the, you know, or
darn,
the,
darn,
the
darn,
no,
darn.
No, 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 no.
And he'd jump up and down and the ceiling would cave in.
Yeah, or then, or
I thought that
kind of
got
family.
Old after a while.
What? I could see Steven, he's like a 6-year-old, like, old, has the clickety remote or whatever. No, those
no we had, I had to turn the channel. I actually had to get up and turn it.
Yeah.
Well, I watched those shows when I was a kid in reruns, but I always found the Munsters to be much funnier than the Addams Family.
And Grandpa was a big part of that, and he will be missed.
No, yeah, didn't Grandpa live under the stairs?
Wolfie.
No, that was Spot.
Dragon.
Or Dragon.
Spot the Dragon.
Spot.
No, but didn't he have like a lab under the stairs or something?
Yeah,
Grandpa basement. Had a basement.
Oh, in the
lab.
Basement. Yeah, in the basement.
Right.
Oh, do you even know how long the show was on?
It was only on for like 2 seasons.
Yeah, 2 seasons. That's it.
That's one of those
because
shows...
I've seen I've seen every episode at least five times.
It's been syndicated for so long, kind of like the original Battlestar Galactica, that was on for a season, but I thought it was like on for like years. But
I did too.
You were just watching the same episode over
right.
and over again.
It's like Gilligan's was on for, what, two seasons? Two and a half?
Yeah, but it, when you're a kid and you watch it every day, it's like, man, there's like hundreds of Gilligan's, you know?
I guess you just don't realize whenever you're a kid, you just don't have that attention span.
You got that
realize.
Goldfish memory. You don't remember.
I think
Do you got any more news stories, Vanessa?
Nope, that's it.
All right, Vanessa, thanks for doing that. All right, let's mosey on into the rec room and see what DVDs Bill has for us this week.
Gumshoe Bill.
Gumshoe?
I like those private detectives, you know, that's music.
Oh, see, that one went completely over my head. You say Gumshoe, and I think of the old Nintendo game.
Private Dick. That's what they call it.
Yes, that's what it should be called. The Private Dick.
All right, Bill, what DVDs are coming out this week?
It's another really horrible week in DVD.
Man, what's going on? Is it just a bad time of year, or...
I think it's just a time of year where nobody really wants to release anything big.
Yeah, right. They wait for holidays, usually.
Yeah, it's bad. I'll go through the list instead of picking out ones like I did last week, because there's just a lot of crap. First DVD, these are for February 7th, 2006. We have the 13 Going on 30 with Jennifer Garner and Mark Ruffalo.
Is it like a special edition? Or?
Yes, it's the fun and flirty edition.
Oh, man. Who comes up with these edition titles? That's what I want to
know. It's got like these 1980s flashback flat... Or,
that is the cheesiest question I've ever heard.
Fashion flashback feature.
Awesome.
A bunch of blooper reels and alternate endings.
And that movie, is there a scene where Jennifer Garner's like a... she's trying on a bunch of different different outfits.
I'm sure there is.
A pop song.
I think that's a requirement for these sort of movies.
And there's a group of people who nod.
If you're really desperate, if you love the music of Pat Benatar and Rick Springfield,
awesome.
They have the music videos for Love is a Battlefield and Jesse's Girl on the DVD.
Does he do me that way?
In case you didn't pick up the unrated edition of the 40-Year-Old Virgin, and we're waiting for the R-rated, you can pick that up this week.
Why would... What?
I know.
Is there
they
somebody
released
like
the unrated edition in widescreen, and now they're releasing the R-rated edition.
You know,
edition.
I saw the movie in the theater, and then I watched it on DVD. I didn't remember what was new.
I know. It was... I think that was kind of the whole point of it. You know, you go to the theater, and you enjoy it, and then you get it, and you watch it at home and go... Oh, is that new?
I didn't see the 13 seconds of new material.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't remember that argument between the Indian and the black guy. I'm really glad they added that.
It really rounds out the movie for me.
His purple satin butt pants.
That was a good scene where he was wearing purple satin butt pants.
Oh, yeah.
In case you have a PSP... And you need your dose of Michael Keaton's Batman film. They're coming out with that on UMD for the PSP.
Right.
Can we get any more acronyms there?
I keep seeing those, and I'm like, why do they have those? Why would you want to watch a movie real tiny?
I ask Vanessa because I don't understand it either.
Vanessa, why is that?
Well, like, let's say I have to take Marissa, my daughter, to gymnastics, and you sit there for 2 hours. I could put my headphones on and watch a movie right there.
You can watch.
But can't you transfer it to the hard drive?
Look for a good priced 1 gigabyte memory card.
That was the best.
Take a DVD from your collection. Transfer it over, and then watch it on your PSP. Why pay $15 for one of these?
It would be cool if it came free with like a regular DVD purchase.
I think that would be a smarter way of doing it.
You package it, you know, for $5 more, you get the UMD.
Vanessa, do you own House of the Dead in...
No! No!
Damn.
I own House of the Dead.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't.
Yes,
I do. You put money in U-Bowl's pocket!
Was that a blind buy?
It was a blind buy. It was $5, I think, at Fry's.
What a colossal ripoff!
Yeah, that's still paying too much, man.
At least he gets one scene of Smallville's Lois Lane pre-boob job taking her shirt off.
Yeah, that's what, she doesn't look like the same person in that movie.
No, she doesn't. She's obviously had a lot of work. Now, you I'm trying to done? Figure...
Do yourself!
Trying if to you, figure this out.
Well, if you had the money, like all the money in the world, and it was completely safe, would you get any plastic surgery done?
Yes.
What would you have done?
Yeah.
My ears, even bigger, like Dumbo, so I could fly. Be awesome.
He would get elephant skin grafted onto his ears so he could slap himself in the face.
How awesome would that be? Like, you could cover your face up with your ears. They'd be like those winged creatures in Beastmaster. They'd wrap around and you go, and then bones would drop out. That would be awesome.
Wouldn't you, like, have a puppy dog tail so people would know when you're happy? Yeah.
Now, I don't know what this is, because I already have, like, the Paul Dini Batman series, but it says here there's a new Batman series, the complete first season. It says 2005. Did anybody know there's a new Batman series, animated series?
I believe, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, who's involved with that?
I have no idea. But
I have no idea.
Cartoon Network.
The animation is different, but it is still cool looking. That's all I know.
Okay, it's called The Batman, I guess.
Hello, Frisco.
Yeah. And so that's coming out in its first season DVD set. I've never seen it.
Is it in 5.1 or?
It's not listed.
How do you
guys, no, it's in stereo.
How do you guys feel about animated movies like in 5.1? Do you think it matters, or do you think it...
Absolutely it matters.
Oh, yeah.
5.1 all
because I watched Clone Wars Volume 2, and it really just outshines Volume 1 because the sound is so much better.
Just as much work goes into the sound design in an animated film. It makes it feel like
Star Wars with all the sound effects and stuff, and you got to hear them the best way possible.
Yeah.
And I don't know what George Lucas has against DTS though.
You would think, because Steven Spielberg is a big advocate for it, that
Steven Spielberg create the DTS?
Yeah, I think it was first brought out.
The first movie was Jurassic Park, right? In DTS?
Right.
Yeah.
That was in DTS right there.
If you're a fan of a hillbilly comedy, Blue Collar TV Season 1, Volume 1
hillbilly
and 2.
Hillbilly. Hell yes!
I can't stand it myself, but I know there's people out there that love that stuff.
Well, 10 years ago it was funny. And
hillbilly comedy. You might be a redneck if... No, why don't you drop dead, all right?
Yeah, and one of the other guys has this really horrible act where he says, like, people do real stupid things, and then he goes, here's your sign. What the hell does that mean?
Billing ball.
Yeah. What's the sign for? Is it supposed to say you're stupid?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I believe so.
Wow.
Well, it's stupid. I want to give him a sign for doing that entire bit.
I hate the get her done, because everybody is saying that, and I just want to pound them in the face.
Is that where that comes from?
That's that Larry the Cable Guy thing, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what's worse is when something is bad on TV, and then you hear people repeating it, like it's,
yes.
Hey, I'm just as funny as the guy on TV now, because I see it too.
I can say get her done as well.
Do you not remember the 90s, where everyone thought they sounded like Beavis and Butthead?
Yes.
I had friends that did that, and I just wanted to murder them.
Speaking of Capote, the Truman Capote written Breakfast at Tiffany's is coming out in an anniversary edition if you're a fan of classic chick flicks.
It is an intriguing sensation.
That reminds me of that bad, what is it, Deep Please Something song?
Wasn't Breakfast at Tiffany's? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Dun,
that song.
Dun, dun, dun,
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Wasn't the Breakfast at Tiffany's movie, wasn't that, didn't it have that really horrible song, Moon River, in it?
I haven't ever seen the movie,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I saw the movie with, my sisters loved all those classic.
Yeah.
You know, if it had Audrey Hepburn or Marilyn Monroe in it, they would watch it, and I would
have to
sit there
and roll
my eyes.
No,
you don't have to love anyone.
I don't have to love anyone. I don't want to. No.
There's a Cary Grant box set coming out.
Jesus Christ!
You gotta admit, as much as you know, he was a good actor. He did his fair share of comedies and stuff. So
he was a very sexy man.
I'll let Jason stick with that comment. I'm not going anywhere near it. If you have a kid and they love Clifford the Big Red Dog,
not
there's
funny,
two
funny
Clifford
queer.
The Big Red mm-hmm. Dog films coming out.
Sweet.
Huge bitch.
Yes, he is. Clifford is a huge bitch.
I always wondered, reading those books as a kid, how Clifford didn't crush the children.
I know. And think about the steaming piles he would leave in the backyard. Take up the whole backyard.
Can you imagine the parents would have to probably shovel those?
He would flood the city with his urine.
Oh, gosh.
You've got troubles, Mac.
Yes, you do. A sea of urine.
They should have put him in a zoo with the elephants.
They would send him off to the Arctic or something, I would think.
I want a big red dog. I
want to
be carried
that? That is a drop. I don't know when it will be played, but that is a drop.
I want a big red dog.
Roll down. Because I want to sit on there and have him take me everywhere and like crush people and stuff. That would be cool.
Yes, yes, and yes.
I just wanted to keep it quiet so we could pull that for later use. If you're a fan of the internet porn star Danny Ash, Danny Ash presents Busty Dream Tales.
Nice.
Coming out on DVD on Tuesday. So if you enjoy softcore porn with women with large breasts, that's what you want. I'm telling you, there's some really great films being released. One of the best films from last year is being released in an unrated edition. That's the Opus Doom. And make sure you get the unrated edition because it's a full 12 minutes longer.
Wow.
Nice.
12 minutes of bad first-person perspective filmmaking. And don't forget, if you put the DVD in your Xbox, you get a free Doom 3 demo.
Nice!
The only redeeming quality of the entire movie, Rosamund Pike, who's just a peach.
You've been dicking me around since we started this turd hunt.
Isn't Doom a turd hunt?
You could qualify it as a turd hunt.
All right, Bill, is that all the DVDs you got this week?
We have the Cameron Crowe disaster, Elizabethtown, in a widescreen edition with standard extras. I don't know if you could actually sit through a commentary of this movie, so they didn't include one.
Nice. That was nice of them.
Which is an excellent idea for, you don't want to... It's bad enough you're buying the film.
You don't want
to
alienate your viewers.
Sit through it again. Yeah. All right, I think that's pretty much it.
You missed one.
What?
Bill, Steven, we're trying to wrap this up.
Waiting is coming out.
Ah, nice. Okay, we'll talk about that next week.
You're talking about... Never mind.
We're trying to wrap this up. Missed your chance, Steven.
What? It's at the end of the DVDs.
Yeah, he wants to talk about Waiting, yet I can't mention Hee Haw, the 10th anniversary
Sweet.
Celebration.
I'm just mentioning it's coming out.
All right, guys, thanks for joining us this week on the show. To Nowhere in Mulberry, we haven't changed hosts yet because I'm lazy, but it's coming soon, so get ready. Thanks, Steven, Bill, and Vanessa for joining us this week. Anybody got anything to say before we leave?
I got nothing.
Steven, nothing about Waiting again?
I got nothing.
Bill,
now.
You got anything? Any kind of chatting going on?
Yeah, I got the chat room up last night.
Sweet.
It still needs a little work. It's at nimchat.com. We'll post a link on the main site at nowhereinmulberry.com. But yeah, I got it up.
Nice.
It's pretty cool, too.
Cool.
It's a Java chat room, so make sure you have the latest edition of Java installed on your computer.
Nice.
Just go to java.com and
all of our listeners, get on there. We'll start chatting about stuff, anything you want.
Yeah, we'll set up some scheduled chats since, people are going to pop in and out. And
hopefully,
you never know when somebody will actually be there.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us this week. And don't forget to buy Waiting on DVD. We'll be right back.
What is it exactly that you do?
I'm a doctor. What about you?
I kill zombies.
Appreciate the zombie killing.
Now this is podcasting.